settle in, get comfortable, let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Sylvia Avery.
And welcome to the Spirits Work Show, where we'll be bringing you information from the other side in our paranormal hour of conversation with the spirit world. Thanks for joining us. Nick and I are spirit mediums and authors, and each week on the show we discuss and explore different topics of interest to do with our world, other realms of existence, and also our eternal home in the afterlife, the place we are destined to go when we leave here. Tonight's show is about the soul's purpose.
We have published 4 books that you can purchase from either our website, amazon.com, or any bookstore, and our website is www.spirit-teaching.com. Our books are The Spirit Within, Spirit Walks with Gregory, The Soul Group, Its Meaning, Magic and Imagery, and Journeys of the Inner Songbird, which you can only get from our website, the last book that is. Apart from Spirit's Work on bloginservice.com every Monday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we also have another show, and that's called The Spirit Teaching Show, and it's on artistfirst.com every Tuesday night at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Anyway, back to the show. I'm a deep trance medium, and as usual, I'll be channeling our resident guest and expert on the spirit world, spirit guide Gregory Hay. Gregory will temporarily borrow my body so that he can talk directly to everybody listening live on air. Being a deep trance medium means that I have the ability to go into the deep trance state, which allows the spirit team to transport my spirit and my consciousness to the ether world, and then use my body as a vessel for direct communication so that another entity can speak directly to you without my mind and thoughts getting in the way. And I suppose that's kind of pretty neat, really, because you don't really want me to talk about this or, you know, for another hour or whatever. So that's the way they do it. They actually use the development of my meditation that I've been doing for the last 11 years in order to bring this about. So I kind of have like an out-of-body experience every time this happens. Sometimes I remember the experiences that I've had and know where I've been, and other times I don't. So, Gregory, then, is the spokesperson for a group of spirits of higher intelligence called the White Cloud Group, and they consist of scientific minds of all description, along with ordinary people, just like you and me. They are an educational team and have come to give us access to information that we need to know in order that we may move forwards and towards a more harmonious and peaceful way of life, to understand the nature of our existence and hopefully save our world from the negative spiral we seem to be caught in.
Thanks, Nick. If you'd like to get ready to go off then.
Okay.
So, as I said, tonight's show is to do with defining the soul's purpose. We'll be learning about a very deep subject, but as always, we try to put it in a way that is easy to understand, language that anyone can understand. Very often material of spirit communication, you know, we feel can sometimes be very confusing and difficult to decipher. But we want to make our information as logical and down-to-earth as possible so that no matter where you are on your spiritual pathway, you will be able to grasp the truthful, factual explanations of the White Cloud Group's teachings through Gregory. Gregory had an earth life 300 years ago, but he's continued to learn and evolve in the spirit world, and now he comes to share his wisdom for us and for our benefit. Our hope is that you will be inspired and uplifted by the information that comes out of these conversations so that you can disseminate fact from fiction. Where you go with this knowledge, of course, is going to be entirely up to you as an individual, but at least you may have a better understanding, and knowledge is power. So I'm really, thanks for joining us. And for those who may have just joined us, you're going to be listening to Gregory Hay talking about the soul's purpose, but he is actually a spirit guide, and he's being channeled at this moment by deep trance medium Nick Avery. And I'm Sylvie Avery. Welcome.
Hello, friends.
Hi, Gregory.
Hello, friends. But once again, then, it is with the utmost love that we are here, and we are so pleasured and honored, as always, little bird, to be in your kind vibration and to accept this invitation to do this program, not as a lecture, of course, but we see this as a pathway of an introduction to how people may look at and view themselves differently in their walk of life. I myself have had a physical life. I was born in 1705 near to the village of Swaffham in the county of Norfolk, quite close to the city of Norwich, in a part of the world called the Fens. I was of poor child stock. I was just a labourer's son, so no real feat of intellect or understanding that ever brought anything my way in physical life. All that I have learned has continued whilst I have been in the spirit world. As you will, each and every one of you, walk along the halls of learning, pass and pore over many books and recitals, acknowledge music, and many other wondrous things that you will come to understand and visualize in the spirit world when it is your time to pass. But before that, when you are, in fact, in your dreaming visions, when you are meditating, you may walk in the spirit world at that time. And as I understand it, one of these very precious things that will enable you to bring about your walk, both in the spirit world and in your world now, is to do with your soul and its purpose.
Thank you. I don't know where you want to begin, and the floor is yours.
Thank you. Well, to say, my dear friends, you are a being, an individual. You think and bring into your mind situations and events that you react to in a particular way. How you make judgments upon these events and actions, what positivity you cause and create in your life, is to do with decisions that you make. Now, gradually as your life impacts, and the environment impacts upon you, you create greater and greater waves of decisions that you make, and that other encounters in your life create different pathways that you may either travel along or that you will feel violated by. Different causes and actions that you make on your journey are what is given as the energy of your soul. The soul itself of a being is not a physical entity. It has no weight. It carries no particular favor one way or the other. What the soul itself is has not very much been accurately described in any literature that we have observed, because it describes the soul as a thing, an essence, as an object that you desire to illuminate. It is in part that it is this desire to illuminate that we wish to speak of, but we also wish to speak of the actual energy of what the soul is and how your interaction creates what your soul becomes. Because this, in fact, is a part of the soul journey. What, in fact, you are as a being and what you bring about in your life is a part of your interaction with the real physical world, with your, and also a part of the reaction with your spirit. And that reaction, the symptoms that you provide in your life, the energy, the positivity and the negativity, all are what come to make up the elements of the soul that you create in your journey. Now, it is to say that emotional events will play a very large part of how your soul enables you to react in certain given situations. What you must understand is what your soul actually is, and that is, it is a recorded version of the events that have taken place in your life. The soul is, if you'd like, a kind of a file system of all of the elements of your life that have been collected to this point. They come to make up your soul. The power of your soul is invigorated by what kind of energy you bring into your life domain. If you bring positive action and cause, if you grow love unabounded within your being, that you give out to anyone in need, create these situations of well-being, dear friends, then you will enliven your soul and you will cause these energies to increase your soul's vitality. In the spirit world, this can be most useful. But I will tell you about that in a little while, as to why that is. For now, we must concentrate upon the physical journey and what exactly your actions and events that cause in your life will have an effect upon the kind of soul that you will have to live with in your spirit journey. As I say, the causes and actions of events on your side of life all have an impact. The negative ones will diminish the soul's ability or its energy power that has been created by the processes of thought, consciousness, and also enlightenment possibilities in your spiritual journey, full intent. Now, it is about your intention that we need to speak of, because as you're enlivened perhaps by the course of positive energy that you begin to bring value to in your life, that you create loving awareness in response to events around you, that you create loving intent, therefore, by your response, it means that this intent will add fuel, will add positivity to your soul, will add the ingredients of the energies that you have encountered. Purely this means that gradually, as you move through these encounters, that your soul becomes more defined, more energetic, you become more aware yourself in the possible purity of beauty that you are by invigorating these positive energies. And so what you see, friend, is that you, by becoming enlivened by your passage, by your pathway into the light, merely means that what you bring upon yourself is also happening to increase your soul's vitality and energy. You are increasing the viscosity of it. you are increasing its illumination in its purest form. And this is an energy that may, in fact, become invigorating to your spirit. It is to say that gradually, as your energy moves and creates greater possibility, heightens your awareness of the possibility of the road ahead, this then means that your light shines brightly. You are an illuminated soul at that point. Can anyone say or define that one soul's illumination is any lesser worth than another? I cannot see it, because that is a judgment upon something that is non-physical. In fact, a collection of the activity of your life to this point. What happens then in the state of someone who is causing negativity and grief in their life? Even if your soul's purpose was defined and understood by you as a child, it does not necessarily mean to say that your course of action will always be that way, because you may make a judgment or decision adversely affecting your soul's purpose, or even your affinity with your spirit within. In which case, dear friends, what you may encounter is something of a diminished soul. Your purpose will be narrowed, your vision stifled by the lack of possibility, the lack of promise. If you invigorate negativity in your life, or allow negativity to cause and create havoc within it, then it merely means, does it not, that you are diminishing the possibility of what life may lay ahead of you, either in physical reality or in your journeys to the spirit world. Now, it isn't necessarily to say that someone who gives out only negativity will only ever experience negativity back. Indeed, it is to say that in the spirit world we try most vehemently to undermine negativity in any way that we can, and we try to bring forward positive instances, possible wills of a more positive energy that can still come about, even though a being may be intensively negative in their physical life. And we will do this still through the interactivity of dream state, through ways in which we may invigorate that being during a passage of their, say, less conscious activity, perhaps whilst they are fishing or doing something else that is causing them to be absent-mindedly, not entirely focused upon their present reality. It isn't to say that we are evil beings either, that are waiting, just waiting for someone to be off their guard. But merely what I'm saying is that this is a positive energy voice. This is not something that is negative. We try to change and turn around those who have a negative impact upon their environment, upon their own lack of will, of justice, and self-alignment of their judgment to the positivity of the synchronicity of all life. So we see then that there is a struggle. We understand that there is this depiction of a war within the self, of how one individual can actually come face to face with their own negativity and turn it around, can progress beyond that negativity in your present life now. So what I'm saying, dear friends, is that no matter whether your life is dull and lifeless, if you feel that you have missed the point, passed the boat, lost the bus, if you have not caught the train that was the express wish that you should have gathered in your physical life, it does not mean to say that it is the end of it and that it will be to the detriment of your soul for all eternity. It is to say that you yourself may continue upon your pathway. You may turn a corner into the world of positivity, even from the lowest of self-esteem or misjudgment upon your life. Now, what is the soul's purpose? Is quite simply the gathering of all of this information, the emotional intent that relays in your life, I say, the amounts of love that you bring out, that you give to others, the gifts of life, of preciousness that you give to one another in relationship, in values that you place, not hidden agendas, not in ways of saying that you are morally more apt to bring greater value to your life than someone else, but that in its own entirety would be a cause of judgment upon them. You are morally bound, perhaps, to make certain representations to the way in which you act in your life, and this is to do with how you bring the gifts of your own presence into the world of those around you, and how you may do this in a freely giving way, not to impact or impinge your thoughts upon others, but to voice them perhaps in a way that is more caring, more giving to them. These actions in their own state will allow you and your soul to grow, will allow the strength in your soul journey to become more obvious. What this will create is that others, through the laws of synchronicity, will come along to your pathway, will perhaps be invigorated by your presence, will no doubt receive some healing from the very words that you speak or from your physical activity that you bring upon them. Because every being in physical life has the ability to give healing, it is a giving moment that will help you pronounce your soul, will help you grow the soul that you are. For that is the need that you have to come. And what is of your journey to come, dear friends, is that quite simply, as you make your life path, as you bring the cause to your beautiful possibility, you are actually creating various healing moments for other beings to interact with. You are actually creating different energies that will bring information and understanding previously not encountered it. What this will produce in your soul is simply a strengthening possibilities of what may come after you have passed. And it is now about what happens when you have passed that we wish to talk of. So what is the soul's purpose in the spirit world? It is simply that at the point of your passing, the nature of what you have given to your soul, that you have accumulated throughout your life precious journey, everything that you have done to cause good effect and positivity will account for the soul's strength. And what happens to the soul in the spirit is that it then becomes your taxi. It becomes your vehicle. It is the soul vehicle of the way they continue to create your journey. And so, what I am saying is basically, if you have been a bad being, if you have created negativity in your life, then what will happen is that the soul's ability to allow you access to different areas of the spirit world will be very limited, because you have not given it the energy to be able to surmount different places, different realities even. Perhaps you will be restricted into only being in within a specific dimension in the spirit world and not be able to travel interdimensionally. Perhaps you may not, because of your diminished soul, be able to communicate with other beings of greater or higher intent. Now, so we can begin to see then perhaps how your soul journey, how the way in which your interactivity with your emotion and your giving in your physical life will actually have an impact upon the possibility of your soul vehicle and your access to other places within the spirit world. Obviously then, the greater your positivity, the greater the giving of love and the precious thoughts that you have bestowed upon others, that you have brought upon others in an ego-free way, that these are things that you have actually brought in good conscience in wishing to be healing, in wishing to be giving to someone else in a selfless act. These are things that allow your soul to grow and that in the spirit world will give you greater access to other dimensions and places you could not have dreamt of in the physical reality. So gradually, my dear friends, as you walk upon your life in the spirit world, yes, the very different things that you are able to attend to will amount to the ability of your soul and your previous life journey in the physical state. It is not to say that it all ends there. Now, if you have had in your physical life been of negativity, how then may you repair your soul? How may you gather your soul journey and enable your spirit to visit other places to reach understanding if you are so limited? Quite simply, dear friend, what will happen is that you will be taken back to the halls of learning. You will be asked to take part in different situations, that you may be of help and service to others in a similar predicament to yourself, and that in this way you may be able to gather a greater knowledge and understanding, have a greater impact upon the world around you, simply and purely by bringing about these causes of positivity. You may then increase your soul's possibility of navigation throughout the spirit world.
Very good. But the least you know, it sounds like that so progress is open to everybody who even doesn't know. I mean, simple people that don't have any ability or any yearning for any sort of enlightenment or whatever, they actually can get there faster through not knowing than people who are maybe using ego for possible enlightenment.
Absolutely so, my dear friend. Absolutely so. What I am saying is that progress is open to every single being. You do not have to constantly have earth physical life in order to progress at all. You do not need to have another physical life within 49 days or any number of days in order to progress to enlightenment. What you have to do is understand that you as a physical entity have the right and the power of choice. You make that choice in forms of positivity or ill will. You spread positivity, love and giving, healing, or whatever other positive energy it is, and you yourself will become a righteous being. If you do this through egotism, or if you do this in order to attract power to yourself, you are being selfish. You are creating something of self-worth in a vicarious way, in a way that has an impact that is negatively disposed because you are creating something for your own power and your own self-esteem.
So you might be fooling other people, but you're not going to be fooling your soul.
Exactly so. Nothing gets past the soul, my dear friend, because actually what you lay upon it are the truest feelings you have within you.
Something that we would maybe know or recognize but aren't aware of it because it's not tangible. Presumably you can't see it, or feel it, or touch it.
Exactly so. You do not know which paths of your righteous behavior or your ill will have been recorded. You may think that some of them have been erased by your own selfless action or activity. Well, in truth, some of them may be, but it takes a great deal more to put right a wrongful act than it does to create a truthful, rightful act in the first instance. If you do something, is what I am saying, if you do something out of pure instinctiveness and positivity, if you will love upon someone and wish to gather them up in your arms because you are trying to be protective over them, if you are doing something out of the love of self, purely for their own benefit, not for your benefit, then you are blessed. If you do something for your own precarious injection of what you wish people to see of self, and it is not delivered in the true spirit of the deliverance of positivity and purity, or that you really underneath it do not have a beautiful mind, then it will be, dear friend, that your soul will encounter all of the obstacles that are laid place in your mind. Thoughts are living things.
I'd like to say thank you for those who may have just joined us. This is the Spirit Work Show, and you're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay talking about the soul's purpose while being channeled by Deep Trance medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery. Welcome. Yes. So you can't fool the soul. So presumably animals have a soul?
Yes, dear friend, because they belong to a specific soul group from whence they have come, from their derivative, from their genetic brotherhood. And this is not something that is purely only linked to their genetics, but it is also linked to their vibration of intent. And so what I was talking about before in human behavior, because you have such a mixture of intent, it is something that is also present within many different animals. It isn't present in everything. It isn't obviously present in an amoeba. An amoeba doesn't become happy, doesn't become sad because of loss of voice or because it is lacking food. It has no intent one way or another, apart from the intent of gathering food and becoming more than itself.
But does it have a spirit, an amoeba?
An amoeba itself does not have a specific spirit. It is part of a collective. It is slightly different in that way, in that exactly the same by other different organisms. Yes, they have a spirit of life that is shared by every other being of the same type and form. But because it has not genetically become more viable, it has not become more present and intensive in its situation, that is, that it does not, is not aware that it exists.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what I'm saying? In that case, it only shares the intent of spirit to bring life.
Okay.
To that physical entity, you see. That is why you can see that it is a life being. Under a microscope, you can even possibly see the energy of its aura, but that is the energy of the aura of its intent of spirit.
Okay.
So getting back then, dear friends, to the soul and its purpose, and what different animals access as part of the soul, it is to say that, for example, a rat or mouse or vole or mole will actually be from the same soul group, even though their species are slightly different. They are from the soul, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a genetic form that was made up many millions of years ago, that came about through the genetic different intertwining, as we have so often said, of different genetic manipulations, if you like, across the Earth form. And so it has become something that was used in itself in order to make a predominant species more different from one another, in that they mutated from one form to another form, depending upon habitat and environment. Just the same as you continue to mutate at this very moment. Each generation, one upon another, is a mutation of the next, of the rest, of the last, and of all ancestry that ever was of that form of physical intent, you see? Because you are all a part of the same genetic family. It is not to say that you are of the same genetic family as mouse, mole, or whatever, but that you, of course, share the same genetic heritage, which is from the Earth plane. Now, to say then that mice, rats, voles, or moles have a soul group, which is initiated and controlled, in a sense, by the intensity and the intent of that particular group of animals. So it is not to say that they purely behave in a certain way, because that is due to environment. And in the spirit world, they will not necessarily behave in the same way that they did in the physical world, because they have become more active because of their innate awareness once they have passed to our side of life. So they become more knowing in a certain way in the spirit world, in just the same way that many other different animals and birds and fish even will also be present in the spirit world, will also have stations of the soul in which they are a part of. They will be something that relates instinctively to one another, that they are harmonic groups, and it is because of their harmony that their soul is enabled them through their journey to be able to progress to something more than they are at present. So, in other words, dear friend, just because they wear a mole's jacket doesn't mean to say they are always going to possess themselves as being a mole. They may well accentuate their being if they have a gathering mind, if they have an understanding that they related to within physical life that is outside of their presence, that they become accustomed to once they are in the spirit world. It is very much the same as the way higher mammals, as you would call them, or swans even, perhaps these different life forms will have different relationships, different abilities that they have formed in physical life, and so this in itself means that the soul journey is created in a different way. It may be more complex. It may be that various animals from that particular species will interact quite well with one another, will in fact even harmonize with one another as a herding group within physical reality, and also as a herding group within the spirit world. It may be that their soul's purpose is something of unity between different animal groups, or is of unity of the whole of one. So, meaning that they blend back into the knit of one, back into the happiness fold of the energy that was there when they were created. It isn't clear that the spirit of these beings is any less than any other being. or any other species just because it has hair or just because it has the face it has, because of genetics and the manipulation of the environment upon it. It merely means that that is the way that it behaves in physical life. It doesn't necessarily mean that intensivity continues in the spirit world. It may well behave in a completely different way. Now, dogs and cats, on the other hand, are a completely different example because they have interacted with you as physical beings, possibly. Not all, of course, because wolves, etc., are the wild variety of the domesticated dog at this present time. So they will react differently. They have a higher, different sense of their own spirituality, their own awareness, because they continue to thrive within the herding instinct and within the pack in the natural world. They also have moments of relationship, situations that occur one with another. They do not devour one another. They merely exchange different views in their voiced relationship. They can create love. They can create awareness of one another, of the possibilities. They can create awareness of one another to such an extent that they behave as a unit. That different animals do not gang up merely and purely because of environmental reasons. They do this because of their actual understanding, relationship between one and another. They do not need to use the same vocal apparatus in order to do this, because they are of the same vibrational level of intent. So their instinct allows them to become aware of their spirit and also of their own abilities, the strengths that each individual has. And so they are able to, in fact, behave as a unit, as one being. And the possibility is endless of the way in which they are able to communicate one with another to be able to bring this about. This is also something of their intent, of their soul, and that their voice of intent may become much more vibrant in the spirit world once they pass. Any number of different animals from a particular group, once they have passed, will in fact continue possibly within their own family tie, because the family tie will continue to be uppermost within their consciousness.
So, I mean, you're a prime example, wonderful example of how we can evolve and learn.
Oh, thank you very much, friend. I was hoping that you would say something complimentary.
In the spirit world. Is learning open to animals as well? Obviously,
yes.
Not in the same way as us. I'm not.
Yes, of course.
That.
Yes, it is. It is open to other animals too, just as I say and have said many times before, because of the fact that you may view animals as being of lesser, lower life form, you automatically spread that intent to your reasoning as to their soul survival, as to their spirituality or awareness, the possibility that may be ahead of them in their awareness trial, in their life path. How their window of life opens upon them may create just the same great beauties in a whale and their family as it does in the spirit world of whale and its family. In just the same way, as I was saying before, that in the family of dog, you see, when you actually encounter a dog in your physical life, then what you are creating is a love relationship. You are bringing upon that animal elements of love, that you are gravitating it towards you because you feel empowered by that loving energy you are creating in its presence, but also it is responding to that relationship. And what it is actually doing is it is giving your love back to you in responding to that relationship. And that is something that will invigorate it throughout its life, so long as you remain friendly, of course. And it is to say that gradually through that life, what will happen is that your relationship will become more and more engaged. Love will continue to pass between you. This isn't something that is an ideology, but it is a fact. A factual energy exchange between one species and another species. It is to say that in the spirit world, once the animal has passed, that it may return to the physical world in its own presence, its own spirit, continually invigorated by the love that exists between you, that continues to exist between you. So it is to say that just because the animal has passed and gone back to its soul group of dog does not mean to say that it is always going to remain there, that you will never ever see it again. Of course, if the spirit world and your energy of love is possible to bring this about, then that engagement will come about. You will feel them, possibly physically around you. You will feel the pet once again, physically around you and in your auric field, with its energy exactly the same as it had when it was in, because due to your relationship, you have accelerated the possibility of its encounter and re-encounter with physical world. And the loving relationship that you had with it has brought that engagement about, and the possibility that you may magnetize towards that animal, and that enable it itself to return and visit you through your love.
And then when you're in the spirit world, you can be together again.
Yes, my dear friend. Of course, this will only be for visits. It will not be a permanent situation. And there will come a time, possibly, when you as a physical being, now in the spirit world, will be able to transgress all things that you have created in physical life or in the spirit world upon others, and that you will in fact become an enlightened being in the spirit world, in which case it will be possible that you may continue to react with your beloved pet, but it may well also be that the meetings grow less frequent, not because of any lesser relationship between you, but just because the vibration then becomes different. As I say, it is not to do with the quality of your love or the extent of the relationship, or perhaps even that your consciousness wanders because you are looking toward better things or brighter things or more loving environments, you see. Your animal pet friend in physical life may well still continue the relationship in the spirit world.
But you could visit them when he wanted.
Yes, of course.
Because I think that's something that people need to know. That
yes, it is not just something that is instigated by the pet, by the loved one.
No.
But is also something that may be instigated by you. But of course, this will be something that is perhaps treated as an observation. So, for example, if you have done negative things in your physical life, it will not necessarily be that you will be reunited with your beloved pet, even though they may pine for you, because your energy may not even be to their level, because their level of love was greater than yours to giving.
Much more pure.
Yes, quite so. So I hope you understand that just because beings listening to this program perhaps are physical human beings, does not necessarily mean to say that they automatically waive all rights over all animals in the spirit world. It is not the case.
So, okay. So we know you've talked before and you've said that trees have a form of spirit. In fact, the planet has a spirit. But presumably they don't have a soul.
No, I would not say that at all. I am saying that there is a collective soul group that defines every single different species in a similar way as I have already described in the case of amoeba or other single-celled or small microorganisms that may live, that there is a collective spirit and soul group for that being. It doesn't mean to say that just because it is of that form at this very moment, that it will never progress beyond the possibility that exists in physical life form, although it may be less likely unless it progresses in a genetic way.
Mm.
Now, it is not to say that that spirit is less, as I say, because that is as well a part of what God is, a part of the creation of all things in the universe, and as such is just as blessed, just as a part of the infinite creation force of all things, the source of all life, as anything else. It is just that its inability to react and intensify that reaction of its own volition means that it is somewhat stunted, shall we say. It is just there as an organism of remembrance, of the ability, of the diversity of the creation of all things. To be present, you see.
Yes. So presumably aliens, people on other planets, beings on other planets will have souls, since they are,
yes, of
are
course.
Spirits having a different form of experience. They will have a soul too.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So
some, of course, are less invigorated by the awareness of their own possibility than others.
Mm-hmm.
And I will not name names. I'm just saying that is exactly the same way that many different species throughout the universe react with one another.
Well, okay, so presumably we get on to the subject of our soul, souls. We're talking about our soul's illumination, meaning that we become enlightened. And then what happens when we become, how do we know when we're an enlightened being? We wouldn't know, we just are.
Exactly. You hit the nail right on the head, dear friend. Someone who is enlightened does not proclaim their enlightenment. They simply be and are. In fact, they are the product of is, which means that if you are in the cycle of is, you are neither wanting to be or aware of the possibility that may exist. You simply exist in now, moment, in the form of is. In saying that, I understand this may be difficult for some people to perceive, but if you look upon your own life and say, I am doing this because I am of value, because I am increasing my knowledge and awareness to become enlightened, you do not know really what the enlightened path is. You may look at other animals and see them as being lower life forms. How do you know? How do you know that that being itself, in its own evolutionary state, is not completely enlightened? That is a judgment that you make upon it, purely and simply because it does not act in the same voice, in the same vocabulary, because it does not bring about in its same auric field the intensity that you would expect. Perhaps as you look and observe a whale, that is the voice of enlightenment. And indeed, many whales are enlightened beings, far more aware and enlightened than you may ever become as a physical being yourself. You see?
Yes. So, in the spirit world, you've talked before about shining ones who are enlightened beings.
Yes.
Who decide that they are shining ones, that they have...
They just exist and are, my dear friend. No one gives them an accolade, a pat on the back. No one gives them a pair of angel wings or a halo of gold. They just illuminate love and understanding. They illuminate the possibility of giving selflessly without any thought of self. And because they have this ability, this possibility within themselves. They do not try to be, they just be. They are, is, existing.
And what, so that is the ultimate for the soul's purpose.
Yes.
What?
And that does not mean to say that will be something that will cease or have a finite course. It may remain as a state of endless sway. It may be that being remains enlightened for an unknown quantity of time. Because in the spirit world, time is not of an essence. It's not something that we relate to. Yes, I am aware that we will talk about that in something else. Another program.
Yes, we will. But what are the options open to you as an enlightened being, as a shining one?
Well, basically what it means is that if you are a shining one, you have the possibility to create worlds within the creation of all things. So you may be attached to or a part of a specific soul group. You may have brought the possibility of energy into engineering that soul group or in enabling different species to harmonize or form a collective consciousness of self that becomes aware and intensively active. You may, as an enlightened being, just exist as is, existing, and continue to exist within that energy of being, giving love, healing, extruding love, manufacturing love, not for divine purpose of self, but for the giving of others, to others, for others' benefit. That is the supreme energy of love and the divine emblem of enlightenment to any soul,
and
to any spirit.
And presumably access to, endless access to dimensions that we would not know about now.
Yes, of course. You must understand that the universe continues to grow exponentially. What you see on the surface is but a blimp, a mere blip on the landscape of the universe of reality, and that interdimensionally the exchange continues to reach forever outward, because it is not something that is defined or enclosed in physical intent. Realities remain different depending upon the different fields or the different energies, the different possibilities of vibration and intent that may surface or exist at any one moment. You yourself may visit different dimensions, different places, purely and simply because of the possibility you have laid within your soul. Through the emotional intent, through the love you have created, and the gifts of awareness you have tried to give to others. This is something that continues in the spirit world, that continues within your journey. It is not something that is laid to waste once you return to the spirit world. But far from it, it is something that is continued and will grow abundantly, because you do not have the murky world in which to slow the ether down in order to continue the progress. I understand for many there may be this difficulty with the progress of what, because you either are or are not. You either are living or are not living. This is to do with the intensity and purpose of physical attrition that you face in physical life, because you are breathing, living, mechanical organisms. You are also spirit, and that element of self is what remains eternal. Physical life is but a mere accent, a mere interlude in the life of spirit that you are, as a part of the creation of all things.
Well, thank you very much, Gregory. It's been wonderful as usual.
Thank you so, and with love and light upon your journey, friend.
Bye-bye.
And for everyone else. God bless.
Well, I'd like to, there's not much time left. I'd just like to say thank you for those who may have just joined us. You've been listening to Gregory Hay, Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery. Please do visit our website, www.spirit-teaching.com, if you'd like to know more about us or find out more about our books that are available in shops or on Amazon, all from the website, and our radio shows. We've enjoyed the show. We hope you have too. Thank you so much for joining us. Until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world.
Goodbye.
Bye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.